want to ask you a question this morning. The title of our sermon is, What Do You Value? What do you value? Have you ever thought about it? Just, what do I value in my life? What do I value? What do your actions, your daily actions, say about what you value? What do others see in your life about what you value? Do they see that you value God's word? Do they see that you value where you're going to spend your eternity? What does God see about what you value? Does your life show that you value spiritual or worldly things? If I ask you the question, what are you willing to give for your soul? Your answer would probably be nothing. But does what you value in your life say about what your answer is? Do you value spiritual things or material things? But in the way in which you live your life, is the true answer to that question. What do you value? In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26 that we have on the overhead, it says, For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? There are a lot of people that are going to forfeit their soul for things that are of no spiritual value. And before we get into the meat, I'll call it, of our sermon, I want us to look at a few things that are of no spiritual value. Some things that we often let creep into our lives. What about having a nice place to live, a nice home? You know, and as we look at some of these, there's nothing wrong with having these things. But we need to put them in the right place. We need to make sure that we're not working day in and day out and missing assembling with the saints to pay for the mortgage on a nice house. We need to remember these things are earthly, not eternal, and they hold no spiritual or eternal value. What about our recreation? Whether it's a boat or a motorcycle, ATV, maybe some type of off-road vehicle. We spend money on. We have to work extra and miss assembly. Or we decide that it's a beautiful day outside and we would rather be out on the water on a boat than assembling with the saints. Nice cars, fast cars. That's a very expensive car, by the way. But then we have these nice expensive cars and we put them before other things. What about money? Jewelry. The picture there has money and diamonds and jewelry on it. Fancy things. Money. These things have no spiritual value. And as I said, there's nothing wrong with having these things, if they're in the right place. In 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, it says, But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these things, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. These things that we have on the overhead are earthly things. Many of them will rust and decay. And if the Lord was returned, they'll all be burned up. They hold no spiritual value. What do you value? What does the way that you live your life, how does the way that you live your life each and every day show what you value? It's amazing how much value we can place on things that have no spiritual value. It's so easy for things to creep in and we not know it. We can get our priorities out of order before we ever know it. The number of worthless things that grab our attention today is innumerable. Have you ever been on your phone, whether you're on social media or you're reading, and you're on it for what you think is just a few minutes, and all of a sudden it's been an hour? It's easy to do. What if you studied your Bible like that? What if you got so involved in your Bible study that you thought you'd been studying for 10 or 15 minutes and then it'd been an hour? What about watching television? Maybe listening to a podcast or something along those lines. Things that hold no value, but they grab our attention. I ask you this morning, do we truly appreciate our material blessings? We should. James chapter 1 and 17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above. But do we use these material things wisely, these material blessings wisely? Do we use them in a manner that they don't overtake spiritual things? What do you value? There's an online, it's more of a blog. It's called EliteDaily.com. And the author of this article is Paul Hudson. It's seven things, priceless things that money will never be able to buy, is the name of the article. And those seven things are time. Money cannot buy time. I had a principal that would say almost every faculty meeting that time is our greatest and most important non-human resource. And in that context, he was talking about educating our children, teaching from bell to bell, using every minute of every class period. But time, we can't buy it. We can't buy it back. Do you value your time? Love. You can't buy love. What about love for God, love for Christ, love for each other? What about happiness? We've heard this oftentimes. You can't buy happiness. You can buy things that you might think make you happy, but you can't buy happiness. We'll find as we go through our study this morning that we find happiness in the Lord. What about courage? Courage to stand up for what is right, for God's word. Intellect, knowledge of God's word. You can't buy it. You've got to work. You've got to study. Purpose. What about legacy? Have we ever thought about that? Can't buy a legacy, especially when it's pertaining to a Christian. Being a Christian example for your family, for your friends, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your great-grandchildren. You see, these are the seven things that Paul Hudson listed in his article here. But I think we can turn to God's word and see that these things are important and are to be valued as a Christian. I want to look at these seven things this morning and then look at a few things that we need to make sure that we value as Christians. Let's talk about time for just a moment. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, it says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because their days are evil." Do we make the best use of our time? We can probably all say we can always use our time better. Do we value our time? Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders." Again, making the best use of the time. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, "For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." How do we use our time? What does our time usage show about us? What does it show about what we value? By the way that we use our time, what does it show what we value? If you don't know, I encourage you to kind of keep a little log this next week of just what you do throughout your day. Write the times down that you study your Bible. Write the times down that you're watching TV, you're on your phone, that you're eating. See where you use your time. That will give you an idea of how you value your time. Think spiritually versus earthly things when we use our time. What do we value? What should be versus what is most important? What do you value? What about love? Love is so important. There's no monetary value that can be put on love. In Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 29, it says, Jesus answered, "The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." That shows us the importance of love. That if we value love, if we value being a Christian, everything about us, with our heart, with our soul, with our mind, with our strength, everything is going to be done for the Lord. But what do we value? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. The chapter here basically on love. And it says, "So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love." Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Do we value love? What does the way that we act, how does the way that we act show that we value love? Not only love for each other as Christians, but love for the Lord. Oh, do you love the Lord? If you do, you'll seek to serve Him every day. The third thing on that list was happiness. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have received your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Now that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Are we content? Are we happy? Or are we anxious? When we are, do we go to the Lord in prayer? As a Christian, whatever situation, whatever state we're in, we should be happy. Why? Because we know that the things on this earth are only for a time. That if we are found faithful on the day of judgment, we'll spend an eternity in heaven. Again, thinking about happiness. Think about the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are those. Do we think about that? First Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. As a child, this is probably one of the very first verses I ever remember memorizing. Mom had it on a piece of typing paper on the refrigerator, written in permanent marker. And we might sit down to eat breakfast or lunch or dinner, and she would sit and go over it with us while we were sitting there eating or while she was cooking. But how valuable is this verse? Do we think about it? Are you a happy person? Money can't buy it. What about courage? Money cannot buy courage. Do you value courage? Do you value standing up for the truth, standing up for what is right? Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Those words that Joshua spoke here are still as true right now as they were when he spoke them then. If we follow God's word, God will be with us, and we need to be strong and very courageous. Not departing from his word. We need to stand up for what is right. We need to stand up for the truth. As the song says, dare to stand like Joshua. If you value God's word, if you value being a Christian, you'll have the courage to stand up for it. What do you value? In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12, in him we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Do we have boldness and confidence through Christ? Do we? In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, be watchful, stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Some of the newer translations leave that term act like men out. I know the NIV and the NET leave that out. I believe the American Standard says, quit you like men. Are we strong? Are we watchful? Do we stand firm in the faith? Do we have that courage that we need to have as a Christian? What do you value? What do you value? What about intellect? As I was working on this, I had to think on this for a minute. Do we value our intellect? Well, what is intellect? It's knowledge. It's being smart. Do you value your knowledge of God's word? Do you study like you ought? Wisdom and knowledge of the truth. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23. Buy truth and do not sell it. By wisdom, instruction, and understanding. We know that we can't buy these things. How do we get them? Through study of God's word. Through time. In Bible study. What do we value? Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. How do we discern something? We've got to be able to do it. Well, we've got to know, don't we? We've got to have knowledge, the intellect to do it. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Do you value your knowledge, your intellect of God's word? Are you constantly trying to let it grow, make it grow, to learn more? Or do you feel inferior when you're sitting in a Bible class because you don't know? Do you feel or have lack of courage when you're discussing the Bible with someone who may not be a Christian because you don't know. What do you value? Time is quickly slipping away. What about our purpose? What about our purpose? Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. The end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Have you ever thought about what is your purpose? You ever thought about it? It's been some years back. We in education do book studies and things all the time. And one of them was, what is your purpose? And it was dealing with education and being a teacher and why you do those things. But that's minuscule when we start looking at being a Christian. What is our purpose? What is our purpose as a Christian? The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. That's our purpose. Why? Because if we want anything less than to go to heaven, we're going to fail. And our purpose is mute. What is your purpose? Think about it. If we do this, if we fear God and keep His commandments, everything else falls into place. Yeah, there's going to be bumps in the road. But if our purpose is to get to heaven, it all falls into place. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. We don't need to be defiling ourselves with things of the world. We need to focus on our purpose. We need to focus on being a Christian. We need to focus on the Lord. Again, we're thinking about our purpose. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think that way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Christians, we need to act like it. What do we value? Seventh thing on that list was a legacy. Do you value your legacy? For our family, our children, our grandchildren. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Some verses say in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. What do you value? 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. We need to have a legacy that is grounded and rooted in the word of the Lord. Looking at this verse, you see the knowledge, the courage that goes into a legacy. Many of these on this list go hand in hand. We start talking about time, and love, and courage, and purpose. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. And these words that I commanded you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. As I said a moment ago, I can remember as a child my mom putting Bible verses up on the refrigerator that we would learn those every Sunday morning, many mornings, not just Sunday mornings. We would have on usually Brother Stephen's songs that go with it, the hymn book that we use here, the hymns for worship. Those would be playing many times when we woke up. We would sing them throughout the morning, getting ready. But what do those small things do? They root you, they ground you. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 20. When your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? And you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders great and grievous against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out of there that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all the statutes to fear the Lord our God. For our God always, the might preserves us alive as we are in this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. Do we teach our children this way? Do we sit down and talk to them about our experiences as a Christian? You know, we study history so we don't repeat it. Do we talk to our children about things that we've seen happen in the church so we don't repeat them? I can remember sitting with my grandfather talking about different things and talking about, he was an elder at the time back in the 60s, 70s when orphans' homes were an issue. I can remember talking to him about it. He lived it. What greater way for us to learn than a Christian who has lived going through a hard time? That's what was so enjoyable about our meeting with the Halls. Those men have lived so many things. We learn from it. We teach. Going to that legacy, what do we leave behind? We'll quickly go through these. There's some lengthy readings here. But do we value the gospel? Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. This, in his joy, goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. We have the gospel, the greatest gift of all. Do we value it? Do we treat it that way? Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This is according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him? Do we value the gospel? Do we value the blood of Christ, the precious blood of Christ? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, we won't read it all here. "And if I call on Him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." Do we value the blood of Christ? Do we? What about the riches of God's grace? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. For time's sake, we won't read this morning. But do we value the riches of God's grace, that He chose us before the foundation of the world? Do we value it? Thinking about the riches of God's grace, Revelation chapter 2 and beginning in verse 8, to the church of Smyrna here, it said, "To the angel and Lord of the church in Smyrna write, the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the slander of those who say that they are Jews are not, but are in the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested for 10 days. You will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death." Do we value the riches of God's grace? I ask you this morning, where are your values? Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then light is you in darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either one will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." What do you value? Earthly or spiritual? You've got two choices. What do you value? We looked at those 7 points. In each one of those 7, what do you value? Where are your values? What is your choice? In Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 24, "Then Jesus said to His disciples, 'If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with His angels in the glory of the Father, and then He will repay each person according to what he has done." On what he has valued. Where are your values? What is your choice? The sermon is yours this morning. Thank you for your patience. We went over time just a little bit. But it's such a good study for us, as we've talked about in a few sermons back, series, examining ourselves. What do we value? What do we value? This morning, if your value is slid away from the things that will get you to heaven, we can help you this morning. We can help you become a Christian. We can help you get back on track. We can help you get your values back on track. You have an opportunity right now to fix it. If we can help you in any way this morning, please come as we stand and as we sing.